I got the last bit of this intro from Matt Hayward on Twitter, so it's a kind of shameless rip-off, but I hope you'll enjoy that. We think our studio's working this week, so we're going to have a go at it here. We're back, baby. Is a great escape really on after two wins from two? That's the question we're asking. Welcome to Talking Torquay. Yes, when life gives you lemons, make lemon hay Evans. Thank you, Matt Hayward, for that one. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Talking Torquay. We hope you've had a lovely Easter, and here's another late treat for you with me and Ryan Darby. I haven't prepared a Aaron Cool to my Martin Cool, but here you are, sat next to me anyway. How are you doing, Ryan?
Yeah, really good. Two games, two wins.
Well, we're going to crack on with that. We've got two games to talk about. We're going to kind of brush over the Chester one, because that's kind of happened now, and we don't want to tread over old ground for you, but that's a 2-0 win for Torquay United at Chester to kick off a bumper Easter weekend for us. Healy getting an early goal with a tidy finish, and Elliot Romain finishing it off with a rare clean sheet for the boys in yellow as well. But then the real kicker came when Woking came to town, and another win was put on the board. Just to give fans that little hint of hope, Ryan Darby, what do we think of that kind of, as a whole, look at that Easter weekend, 6 points. We get to be positive on the show for once.
Yeah, last week we said that 6 points was a must, and they delivered. They got 6 points. One of our big complaints has been that we're not giving ourselves a chance. Two wins from two, 6 points on the board. Nothing's done yet, and nothing is still very looking unlikely. But they've given themselves a chance.
We're going to talk more about survival chances later in the show. We'll talk about these games in isolation, though. I said in the preview to the Chester game that maybe it was a chance to let the players go in terms of attacking intent, and Ours has definitely listened to me there, I'd say.
No, it's almost like you knew.
No, he's unleashed a front three now, with Healy kind of floating around behind Williams and Romain, but basically given the freedom, I would say, to kind of go where he feels the space is. So he's unleashed, three strikers on the pitch. It's something, to be fair, it's something I said a few weeks ago, that I felt like we should throw strikers at the problem. But we've done it now, and we've got the results with four goals in two games. Goals is something we struggle for all season, and just putting strikers on the pitch seems to have worked over this weekend anyway.
Yeah, I think it was Steve Tully on the co-commentary this weekend, and he made a good point that this team has got goals in it now, and it's kind of been true all season, but the quality's just not been there. With Reece Healy coming into the side, he's probably the best striker we've had all season, general quality wise.
So good of Neil Warnock to help us out with that, because he's a striker who could without a doubt play at a better level than us. He's literally just done us a favour, isn't he? Like Neil does occasionally.
Good old Uncle Neil.
Yeah, he's a good lad, that Reece.
That's good.
Yeah, thank you. So Healy kind of given the free roll behind Williams and Romain. I mean, that's how I read it. Did you read it the same? As Healy had that little bit more freedom than the other two, just to kind of.
Yeah, I don't know if that's his. I wouldn't say that's his probably his best position. I'd imagine he'd probably want to be.
I think for Cardiff, he's more of an out and out striker.
Yeah, he'd probably be on the shoulder, getting in behind and making those runs. But you know, we've got to find a place for him in the team. He's a player of that quality that, if needs must, you are just going to have to shoehorn him in somewhere.
Well, the question is here, and it's probably a strange question to ask us. We've won two games on the bounce, because it's worked, and we've got to give Gary Owers credit, because we've won two games in a row, and suddenly we've had a nice Easter as Torquay fans, even if we're not realistically in with a shout of avoiding the drop yet. But you've got to give him a bit of credit. But with Healy, so this is the question I was going to ask. Is it a little bit of a waste to hold him deeper and not have his finishing inside the box? I'll give both sides of the coin and you can pick which side you're on. Or is it a case of you put your best player on the pitch to in a position where he can get the ball as much as possible, regardless if that means he's maybe not as quite as close to the goal as he would be?
I think there's elements of both things that come into that. I think he is slightly wasted, and it's say like a 10. Mm. But there's another thing to consider, that Brett Williams and Elliot Romain are both scoring goals at the moment. how do you drop either of those two at the moment? Both notching a couple in recent weeks and important goals at important times. It would be a very difficult conversation for Gary Owls to have with either of the two strikers to say, well, look, we've got this young lad in on loan, but we're going to put him in instead of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And Williams again scoring at the weekend, in an important penalty that could further down the line have a big role in how this season pans out.
Look at those hopeful eyes you've got on here. If you could see that, people listening. Yeah, Williams slot home the penalty, as you said, and it was 1-0 at half time. In the 65th minute, Greg O'Cox with the goal. And that was literally, when that goal went in, I was ready to come in with my normal rant about us being on top in a game, probably not scoring enough for the chances we created, and letting in a really sloppy goal. And that was heading straight along that script, wasn't it? Because that was a poor one to concede at a bad time in the game to concede it.
Yeah, it was a poor goal. And the frustrating part would be that we were on top for large spells of the game and seemingly had a lot of chances, but we were just being too wasteful in front of goal.
It was just another... Sloppy is the word. I mean, a long ball... It happens on Sunday league pitches. You don't let the ball bounce like from a long clearance like that. You meet the ball. It bounced. Dorrell kind of caught himself in no man's land, didn't he? I think Owers, despite the win, from Owers' post match comments, he was still really disappointed. I think at the way, for a game where we've been on top for much of it, we still found ourselves level pegging at the 65 minute mark. I think Owers is still disappointed at that kind of thing that we're still having to deal with as a team.
Yeah, look, it was disappointing. There's also Woking to consider. They're fighting for everything as well at the moment. But what I would say is the general reaction of the team was good.
Yeah.
You know, they went behind. Not went behind, sorry. Woking equalised.
But it felt like going behind. That's an interesting point, because from how we played all season, that's literally it. You could see... You would have forgiven them. Well, you wouldn't have forgiven them, knowing the pop side. But heads dropping, you can see why it would happen.
It is a bit of a sucker blow. But there's also probably in the back of their minds the clean sheet that they got on the road just days beforehand. So there's probably a little bit more confidence back there now. But like I said, the reaction of the team after conceding such a sloppy goal, you can't help but credit that.
And then Lemonhay Evans dusted off his boots for a wonder strike. Really, he's. We've spoken about him at length in the last few weeks. He's a man who's come into his own when the team's been kind of backs up against the wall, isn't he?
Yeah, really interesting, actually. He's having like a mini renaissance in the team. He didn't really feature when he first came into the side, didn't really know where he would fit in. And now all of a sudden he's ousted his Bristol City teammate in George Dowling and made that position his own in the final weeks. Well, I would say it looks like...
He keeps the ball, and that's what's so important, I think, particularly in this system. We need our two central players to keep the ball, particularly if Healy's going to be buzzing around in front of them, probably trying passes that maybe don't always come off. You need those central two to get the ball, spread it to the wing-backs when you need to, and head forward when you need to. But first and foremost, keep Torquay United in possession of the ball.
What it also looks like is... just listening to what Owers said after the game, looks like he's got the trust of the manager in there. It looks like he really has faith in him to do the job. And he's going to have a big role to play in the final few matches. And if he's got a goal threat in him, even better.
Well, yeah, if he adds goals to his game, he becomes a much more complete midfielder and will be playing Football League football next season, you'd imagine, if not for us. So that game leaves us 4 points off Barrow. They have two games in hand. Do you want to go through the run-ins now? Are you ready to go through that?
Yeah, we can have a look.
Okay, so we've kind of broken down the games each team's got to play in the hope that we can find some chinks of light for the Yellow Army to think about going forward. So Torquay United, as we said, 4 points off Barrow, who have the two games in hand. And having a look at the table now, Woking are the team above them and are in free fall, it's got to be said. Who have played 41 games. So we've got a game in hand on them. We're on 37, they're on 44. We've broken down a few of the fixtures here. What do we need? Where do we need it? Ryan, obviously Torquay have Dover and Fylde next, which is a tricky pairing, isn't it?
Yeah, two very tough games. And I think we've both said that this if there is a great escape, it's going to live and die on these next two meetings, I think. For the Torquay running order, note there is Geisley in here that needs to be rearranged.
Do they have a provisional date? They might do.
But... I'm not sure, but for the sake of this argument, I've just chucked it in the middle.
Okay.
So we've got Dover away, Fylde at home, Halifax at home, Geisley potentially here somewhere at home, Hartlepool away, and then we end the season with Ebbsfleet at home.
Okay. So the trickiest games are the next two, you'd say, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Dover and Fylde. And if we were doing our kind of fag packet maths before the show, if we're going to survive, we probably... Well, Ryan and I disagree with it a little bit because we've spoken a lot about the 50-point mark, sometimes seeing you safe, sometimes not. Ryan thinks the bar might be slightly lower this season, which obviously plays in our favour if we're going to have any chance of avoiding the drop. But we probably need to win 4 or 5 of the last 6 games, you'd say, which means beating Dover or Fylde, which are teams we shouldn't beat, but beating them anyway. We need to throw in those results and have a run together in the other games. I mean, where do you see it going? I know you said pre-show about the 50-point mark maybe being slightly too high. Do you want to expand a bit on that, about where you think it might end up this season?
Yeah, I just think because of the general level of the bottom six, shall we say, bottom seven, I just don't think 50 points is going to be the level.
You're saying 50 stays up, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. So I think you might see a team sort of drop down on maybe say 48, just for example. You look at Woking, who you did say, yeah, they are free falling.
Yeah.
And they've played 41 games, where most of the teams in the round of figures have played 40 or like Barrow on 38, and they're on 44 points. So it's going to be tough for them to pick up a few more points in sort of the final 5 matches.
Well, that's the thing.
So.
Barrow are picking up points more consistently than Woking. That's why I think Woking might be the team that we catch, because it happens every season. You have a team that is kind of mid-table and then sleepwalks towards that relegation battle, whereas we're eyes wide open in a relegation battle. And Woking are now in that position where they have to... Suddenly, their players are thrown into this mix. And that result in the weekend would have sent shocks through their system, I think. They would have wanted... If they could have nicked 3 points of us, they would have just been like, oh, okay, we're safe. We'll pick up some points on the way to the end of the season. But now they're thinking... They won't necessarily be fearing Torquay catching them yet, but they'll be thinking Solihull could catch us and Barrow can take us and that's how you get panicked, isn't it?
And the table is pretty difficult to read at the moment, just purely because Barrow have these games in hand, and so they are there, but they're kind of not there at the same time because you just don't know what to predict from their games in hand.
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? Because the pessimist would say, well, so they have. They have 2 games in hand on us and 3 games on hand on Woking. So you could theoretically say that they'll get 9. They have 9 points available that Woking don't. But then you have to flip that against the fact that it is Barrow and they haven't picked up many points all season. I think they've won 9 games all season. And then so in your maths, you're working out that they might win 3 of their games in hand, but that's in all likelihood not going to happen.
Yeah, just going back to the Torquay United fixtures. After Fylde, we welcome Halifax at home. Now, that's kind of, for them, their season will probably be done and dusted by that point. They look like they're going to be safe.
You almost hope that for us, don't you? That they would have picked up another point before us, or another 3, and maybe might be on a beach somewhere on the end of the season before they come to play more.
Yeah, and then you've got the Geisley game, who... You'd imagine they will be down all but... I'd imagine it would be confirmed their relegation by the time they come back to play more. And then there's Hartlepool as well, who are in a bit of a sticky spot. They're kind of probably safe, maybe looking over their shoulder slightly.
Well, at the end of the season, you start to target these games, these teams that have almost nothing to play for. You hope they have nothing to play for. As you say, Hartlepool probably aren't going to be involved down here. Ebbsfleet... although they're still in the hunt of the playoffs now, you'd say by then they may not be in the mix for the playoffs. They could very well be, but because they've got some games in hand as well. But
well, given it's their last day of the season, I think their fate would have been decided by then as well. So, overall, the next two games are going to be the tough ones, because Dover are right in the playoffs now. Fylde are still there pushing, and it's probably a bad time to play them on their part. But apart from that, I'd say the fixture list is in Torquay's favour slightly. It's not the easiest of the run-ins, I don't think.
You've written down here that Fylde have a role to play in all of the fixture lists of Torquay, Barrow and Solihull. So they're a side that's still fighting for playoffs, quite conceivably could be in the playoffs. They're a team that could decide where this goes, isn't it?
Yeah, and they've got their own ambitions this season. They've
having a good season.
Yeah, absolutely, and they'll be looking to make playoffs. And it's these games that they'll be targeting. For them, you could look at them and say they're potential banana skins, but if they want to be in that promotion conversation, they've got to come to places like these and take all 3 points.
So if we're going to survive, we need a low points target. We've already established that. We need it under 50 points. If we take it to the, what do you reckon, 47, 48?
I think 49, potentially, just to play devil's advocate.
So what, 49 sees you safe, 48 sees you down?
Potentially, there or thereabouts.
Well, yeah, we're playing the guessing game here, aren't we? So Torquay probably have to win. Well, in my book, we've got to win 5 of the last 6, unfortunately, which means beating Dover or Fylde. In terms of that double header, is there a team you'd fancy as more? I've got a sneaky feeling. I'm kind of answering my own question already before I've asked the question. I've got a sneaky feeling Ours might fancy Dover away more than he fancies Fylde at home. Just because we've picked up a few results on the road. Playmore can be tricky if it's not going our way. And if not the win, he'll definitely be after, maybe not an attacking performance, but get us on the score sheet and see where it takes us against Dover. I feel like that's the kind of mentality he might take for that game.
And worth noting as well that Dover have lost their last 2 games.
Yeah,
they're in
exactly.
A little bit of a blip.
That means if we start on the front foot, we can get into them.
Dover won't want to play Torquay United at the moment because it's a different team there, and they made a lot of transfers over the summer. But they'll still remember what happened there last season, and as will Torquay, it'll be at the forefront of their minds. A game that was so important in last season's Great Escape under Kevin Nicholson. I think I'd agree. This is probably the game that you go and win. Fylde present their own problems. Dover is still a good team, but the momentum's with us for a change. We've not really had this been in this position before this season, but we can go into the game and get on the front foot.
Do you reckon it's 4 points needed from these 2 games as a side to the 3? I mean, we're kind of assuming that we might go unbeaten from now until the end of the season, which is incredibly unlikely considering how our season's gone so far. And we're getting a bit carried away here, but that's what we've got to do. We're on a Talk United podcast. But you've got, I'd say you if we take a defeat in one of these games, it'll be Dover or Fylde, but we've got to beat the other one. 1 point's not enough. 3 might be from these 2 games is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, 3 points is definitely a must from 2.
Yeah. 3 points is definitely a must. You prefer 4. I don't think we can expect the 6, but if he can draw 1 and beat 1, then it's looking like game on.
Absolutely. And it's just all about momentum and giving yourself a chance. I remember, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, we were only praising Solihull because a good run through Christmas in January, they gave themselves a chance. They've not secured safety or anything like that, but
I think they're picking up points as well. We can't ignore that. But I think the wider point I want to make here is we're talking about survival chances, but a few weeks ago we were dead and buried, and what I said on the show here was, look, we're gone. If we can have a few results from now until the end of the season that put some smiles on some Torquay United faces, then that's as good as we can hope. And let's be fair to Gary Ours. He's a man who's coming for some criticism from a lot of fans, including ourselves. Let's be fair to him. He's put some smiles on faces over the Easter break. And that's all I asked for a few weeks ago. If we can get chalk a few wins up, have a go at a few teams, send some fans home happy on a Saturday, then, I mean, that's a start, isn't it?
Yeah, look, there's some difficult games on the horizon, as we've already said. But there are some winnable games, and that can't be ignored. I think you look at the Halifax game they'll be seeing that as a winnable one. Guiseley definitely should be winning that one. If you want to be considered in this safety conversation, you've just got to be seeing teams off like that. So there's definitely 6 points.
Definitely 6 points. There we go.
That could,
yeah, up okay, for grabs. Yeah, I'm with you.
Not strictly speaking, but you build on that. If you get a point, let's say 3 points from the Dover and Fylde game, that's 9. I still don't think that's going to be enough. I think there's potential for maybe...
He's using his fingers to count out the points here, just so you know.
I'm going to say maybe 9 or 10, anywhere from 9 to 12 points that we could maybe
Which is still a tough ask. We can't get away from that.
And you're not leaving it in your own hands per se.
No. We're going to talk about the Dover game in a bit more depth now as we preview that clash. As I said, I feel like this could be the one that ours targets for getting 3 points from. But they are a Dover side who is 7th in the National League, still in the mix for the playoffs, could drop out, could not. I mean, there's a few teams in the mix with the new playoff system. How do you see him setting up for this? It's got to be same again, isn't it? Same 11, same system. Go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't.
You think, or the question is, will he be tempted to be a bit more conservative because it is a good team he's against?
Potentially, but the wind is in our sails in the fact that we've won 2 on the bounce and performed reasonably well considering. I think if injuries and fitness allow it, I think he'll go unchanged.
Yeah.
I think the question remains about Reece Healy. Where do you fit him in?
I think he'll stay where he is. I think put the best player in the position where he gets the most of the ball. I think Nico tried it at the start of the season with Jake Gosling, which is quite different looking back at it now. But remember, Nico kind of played him in a hole behind the front man, and because he pinpointed Gosling as the man who could open a defence. And I think ours has done the same with Healy in that he's got a shot. With a bit of, you know, power behind it and that little bit of class, so he might be able to open up defences more than anyone else in our team. So he puts them on the ball as much as possible. It's basic, but it's what you do, isn't it, at this level when you're struggling. Unchanged for me, without a doubt. Particularly as I said, the Dover one will be the one I think he's after because they've lost 2 in a row, and if we can nick an early one at their place. You could just see the atmosphere turning there a little bit.
Yeah, it's an interesting time for Dover. They're definitely not secure in the playoff spaces, so they've still got a lot to play for. And it's how they react from losing these last 2 games, because a win against Torquay, from their point of view, puts them right back on track. But if they drop points again, then they could really see their playoff place put in tatters per se. They've got to go for it from their point of view.
You worry about a backlash from them, don't you? Particularly after their last game against Ebbsfleet was a last minute defeat. After in the 91st minute, Dover had equalised, and then the 96th minute, Ebbsfleet won the game. So right at the death, losing it, you worry about if we're going to get, you know, them coming out fighting to show that they were angry at that result or that they're better than that, or. You flip it round and you hope that that result is so damaging to some of those players' egos that they come out a little bit scared for the Torquay United game. A team that's coming to their patch, in a team they should beat, but is in a little bit of form. It's a dangerous fixture for them. And I think they'll know that, won't they?
Well, they've got Chris Kinnear there in charge, a vastly experienced manager. I don't think he'd let that happen.
What, in terms of the coming out a little bit timid?
Yeah. You'd be expecting some sort of reaction from them. Look, I think we've got to take confidence from the last 2 games. They've played well.
10 points from 12. You can't argue.
No,
with that,
you can't.
Torquay United,
and it's points on the road as well, which is we've often struggled with.
Well, we've struggled home and away.
Yeah,
yeah.
But they're playing well. They're defending well as well. Clean sheets. You know, that's been a rarity. So there's confidence to be taken from results, and now that. The mood in the team is growing. They're probably not talking about a great escape just yet, but the momentum is starting.
You create an atmosphere,
exactly.
Don't you? Yeah, yeah. In terms of Dover's, who we've got to look out for in Dover's team, one person I picked out is Keanu Marsh-Brown, who they've got in. I think they've got him in on loan. I'm not too sure, but the former Forest Green Rovers striker. he's undoubtedly got that little bit of quality. He can bend that ball into the far corner. We've seen him do it in countless times before it's green. But I've picked him out as a strength, but I also think he's a player who thinks he's better than he is. And if we can, one of those players, I think if we're in the lead, he'll kind of buckle under it a little bit.
If you nullify his threat, yes, you take a large part of their game away.
Although he has been playing off the bench for them recently. They've been using him as an impact sub almost. They've been starting with another former Torquay man in Adebayo Aziz. Quick front man. He'll be one to look out for to not isolate with Conrad Balotone. But who else do you think in terms of Dover's squad that we need to look out for?
Well, they've got a strong squad, as we've already said. It'd be interesting to see where he uses Galifuoco again.
Yeah,
played in sort of a holding role when he came to play more, and actually impressed really.
Yeah,
not many people would have expected to see him there.
Well, looked surprisingly good on the ball, didn't he?
He looked like he had been given a lot of responsibility in this Dover team, and I think they've taken a shine up to him up there. They've got a good squad. There's no doubt about that. That's why they're up in there in this playoff.
But he's basically an ever present for them this season. He's been whenever they're playing, and he's fit. He's in the side.
Yeah, it's a timely reminder of what could have been if he were to stay at Playmore. I know a lot of people would have liked to see that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's doing well for them up there.
Okay. I'd like a prediction from you for this one then, Ryan.
I think there'll be goals in the game. I think a win would be the icing on the cake, but I think potentially a 2-1 defeat is on the hand because I think Dover will come out fighting.
Okay, that's fine. I will go with a score draw. And I think there's goals in this as well, because Dover will want to win. And as I said, I think ours will want to win too. So I'm going to go with a 2-all, all the goals in this one. I think that's it for another episode of Talking Torquay, unless you have anything else you'd like to say, Ryan?
No.
Okay, so feel free to join us next week on Talking Torquay. And until then, it's goodbye from Ryan.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.